current events,
personal values,
political and social issues,
technology, wars and tensions.
Join us for the next hour to discuss and learn how the things happening in our world today point to God's prophetic word as signs of the times.
Follow the signs.
We promise we won't talk in circles, but do animals walking in circles mean Jesus is coming? We'll tell you what is coming, though, another See We Told You So when it comes to drug use. And is a dwindling river throwing off our prophecy timeline? Well, that's why we're here, to make sure you don't get thrown by all the signs of the times. Our weekly review of Bible prophecy that we find in the world's news for Friday, December 9th, 2022. And don't be thrown by all the ways you can subscribe to our podcast through Apple, iHeartRadio, Spotify, Stitcher, or Google. Listen, you can enjoy Signs of the Times on your time through any of those sources or right from the mothership, thewaymedia.net, or download the Way Media app, where you can read the articles from this show or ask Pastor Mark a prophecy question. And now, here's a guy who doesn't take health advice from people who think the world is overpopulated, and that's Pastor Mark, whose grief counselor recently died. But he was so good, Pastor Mark doesn't care.
Okay, that was just kind of... I feel guilty laughing at that, but that's clever.
I thought when I read it to Abby, she was going to bust a rib.
No, that was a natural laugh. That's a good one. It is.
But yeah. It was a delayed laugh.
Yeah. Well, because again, I let it sink in. I don't want somebody to think my counselor really died and I'm happy about it.
I know.
And either way, but yes, no, that's entertaining. That's entertaining. I like that. That was a good one.
It's for entertainment purposes
only.
Part of the program. We don't have any listener questions, and that's because, I'm going to let you in on a little secret. We're pre-recording this program.
Yes.
Today is not really the 9th, but we're airing it on the 9th.
But it's prophetic for the 9th.
We're speaking prophetically.
So, Signs of the Times.
Fantastic.
See?
So, if you send your question in between Tuesday and Friday, and it didn't make it on the show on the 9th, that's because we pre-recorded this, but guaranteed we will get to your question when we return for next Friday.
There you go.
All right, let's get into our articles, Pastor Mark. We've got a lot of them, and they are good.
Yes.
Our first one is from Israel Today, and a Jerusalem rabbi is answering the sign of Messiah's coming, or are these signs that people are seeing the signs of Messiah's coming? And you've referenced Matthew 16:3 for this, and I'll just read this for the people. And in the morning, it will be foul weather today, for the sky is red and threatening. Hypocrites, you know how to discern the face of the sky, but you cannot discern the signs of the times.
Yeah, which is interesting. I mean, I chose that verse because really, I don't even know why they think this has anything to do with signs of the time. There's no biblical implication whatsoever. You see, I wanted this in here because it's the Jews and a rabbi, and they're talking about it, and they're looking for their Messiah, which, again, is interesting.
Yeah.
But what does the animal circle thing have to do with... there's nothing biblical that says animals will begin as a circle, you know? I don't know. I mean, you know, round up the animals.
When you see the sheep marching.
That's right. You know, but let's read some of it. It says, okay. Israelis respond to mounting incidents of animals walking in circles by wondering if the end times and Messiah's coming are upon us. Again, I don't see the connection. Man, there isn't a biblical one, but let's go on. In recent weeks and months, a flood of video clips, and these are pretty interesting, I've seen some of them, have shown all manner of animals beginning to walk in large circles for no apparent reason. For instance, 2 weeks ago, Chinese media reported that a flock of over 100 sheep had started walking in a large circle and continued doing so for more than 10 days. I think they got up to almost 12 days. Just walking in a circle. I'm talking walking. I mean, not if they were even sleeping. I think that is probably from just exhaustion collapsed. I'm not sure on that, but I think they said they just kept going. Numerous other examples have been seen as well. Rabbi Zamir Cohen, founder of the religious television network Hedabrut, told the gathering that while there are many signs that are attributed to the coming of the Messiah, there is nothing written about animals walking in circles in the last days. Now, again, good answer, Rabbi Zamir Cohen, because there isn't anything about that. I still don't know why. I think sometimes people just think when you see weird things, that means the end is near. And there's a lot of weird things that don't mean the end is near. So I find that. But the reason, Greg, it's not just because it's interesting from the Israeli viewpoint, and there is a legitimate point to bring up, only on this, they're looking for their Messiah.
Right.
To think the Jews are even going to their rabbi and going, could this be the Messiah? I mean, that just shows they're looking, which is good.
Yes.
And interesting. And I think, inside of the last days. But this is what popped in my mind. It's very interesting. And I don't know. I know that, you know, birds, the way God has designed birds and their navigation system, it's all electronic. It's with the magnetism of the earth.
Yes.
And they have their own satellite system built in from magnetism and electron stuff. It's all, you know, it says we don't
how they get there. Yeah.
It's amazing. I mean, they just take off and fly to wherever, and they have a navigation system built in. They say it's based off of, you know, the electromagnetic fields and magnetism in the earth and all that stuff. And again, I'm not a scientist on that, so I don't know, but I find that intriguing. Now, with that said, you would begin to wonder, well, what is there something happening that's causing animals to respond this way across the globe? Because it was happening, you know, all around the globe all at one time. And then it occurred to me, this is very interesting to me. They recently fired up this super collider in Sweden. We've talked about it before, that CERN does. And the way it works, it's a giant circle, and the electrons go around. It calls it an electromagnetic field that just circles and circles and circles and goes in a big round. That they're so worried about the power of it worldwide, they're afraid that it could blow the earth up. There have been some that's saying, we're afraid you may actually reignite what caused the Big Bang, which I don't believe in. Mm. But they believe you get it going in one way, then they send something another direction in the midst of it. They're super colliders. The atoms collide together. And they're trying to recreate and see what happened at the beginning of the universe and all this blah. And they're saying a lot of this stuff is kind of, there's a lot of what they claim, even unbelievers, supernatural connections to this, that they're seeing phenomena they can't explain, et cetera. And Greg, remember when they started it, it was about 6 months ago when they officially opened, and they did this worldwide live streaming of the ceremony. Maybe you saw some of it. I encourage our listeners, if you didn't see the CERN Super Collider opening in Sweden a few months back.
Was that the one that had the bull?
No, this is different.
Different, okay.
It was very, very demonic. They literally have, I forget the name of the Hindu god, the symbol is their symbol, and they have that outside of their main headquarters there of the CERN company. And they had it, I believe, there up when they opened up their super collider. But it deals with the gods and their power, you know, this kind of thing. But what's interesting, they did this really demonic ceremony that lasted for a long time. I mean, they had all kinds of just really weird, I mean, weird stuff that they did on the stage and showed it and whatever. And that was the opening ceremony for this. It was like the Olympics for Satan or something.
For Satan, yeah.
It's like, here he is carrying the eternal torch of the lake of fire, and they're coming around the corner and handing this off to the next guy who's eternally lost. And I'm not making fun of people eternally lost. I'm just saying that's how weird it was.
Yes, so weird.
Now, and so I only say that to say, I don't know how, you know, I know we're made electronically. We have, not electronically, but we respond to electromagnetic fields. Animals do, the earth, the magnetism. It may have nothing to do with it. But apart from the fact they're looking for their Messiah, I find it interesting that they're starting this thing up that's, again, causing these magnetic circles, electromagnetic, all these things, and you're seeing the animals begin to circle. I don't know if there's any connection there or not. Maybe some of our listeners could look into that, see what they can discover and find. It may have nothing to do with it, but there might be an explanation that's very natural. Just because of some disturbance in the magnetic field of what they're doing in this giant, you know, collider thing. And Germany's building a bigger one, Greg, that's 10 times stronger than the one they did in Sweden. So why are all these nations building these? There's something more going on than just super collider. How did the universe start? There's something going on, or whether it's weaponry or something connected to the spirit of the age. Well, only time will tell.
Yeah. You remember Doug that used to come here to church, and I think he travels around now, is retired. He worked there at Oak Ridge with their super collider or something along those lines.
And he used to walk in circles all the time. Yes. I know what you're going to bring up.
No,
I'm just kidding.
That's pretty good. I was going to say, so that's how those crop circles got there. that's why I thought this explains the
there
crop
you go,
circles.
The crop circles.
When I saw the picture of the sheep, and I thought, I wonder if that's
Let's
how they got
get
the
all
crop
the cattle
circles.
Going in circles through the corn.
I don't know. It's just so
bizarre.
You've
got a new horror movie right there. You got a scary movie.
You do.
You know, it's like, you know,
Well, we don't. Yeah, we've got the real thing. We don't need Hollywood. But anyway, it's crazy. But yeah, so some people are thinking they've got an explanation for it. You think it might be?
I'm just
the super
saying. Look,
colliders.
We don't know what it is. Here's the bottom line. I will say this. You know, I'm not. There's nothing I can back up to say that's what it is. This is just more. I'm speculating out loud. So bear with me on that. But I will say this. I do see a connection for some reason. There is a very obvious connection to those that are in this particular realm, to the demonic realm. And that's really borne out by the fact that the company's symbol is this Hindu god that they keep out front, and this really demonic ceremony they did to open it. There is a definite connection to the demonic realm. And so just keep an eye on this. Yeah. We don't know what's going on, and it's weird. And just, you know, we'll see. Time will tell if there's any real thing we need to know.
I do know that the super colliders are, you know, specifically manufactured or built on these sites for research purposes.
Right.
They are not cheap is an understatement.
Oh, yeah.
So I just think it's fun. And a lot of times when people have that kind of resource, other universities will buy time or whatever to use those types of equipment. Oak Ridge is very familiar with doing that for other institutions because they have equipment out there that's very hard to get or expensive to build.
Right.
Same thing with these research universities. So I just think that's interesting that CERN in Switzerland – you know, right there. Isn't it in Switzerland?
Well, that's where the super collider is, so I'm not positive where they're headquarters.
I mean, Germany's essentially right next door, so why would they build their own? Why wouldn't they just use that? So anyway, I'm sure we'll hear more as time goes on.
Discernment.
Yeah. Yes, we'll get discernment. Oh, you know what? I got to tell you. That deserved a rim shot. I don't know if anyone heard the rim shot, but it was a rim shot.
I heard it.
Okay, good.
I heard it.
All right, let's come back to America, where we visit ABC News that tells us that Colorado voters, the same voters that approved marijuana, and this is a see we told you so, that this was just going, marijuana in any form, and don't be deceived by CBD and all of that. That is, these are, and there might be good uses for it, or valid uses for it. I'm not going to get into the nitty-gritty of that. But overall, when you legalize that stuff that comes from cannabis, that's what we call a gateway drug.
Right.
And so exactly what's happened, the voters now in Colorado, and matter of fact, the article, I know there's another state in there, but Colorado voters have approved the legalizing mushrooms and psychedelics.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm not sure what the Charlie Daniels Band has to do with it, but you said CBD, right?
CBD. I said CBD. So you meant CDB.
Oh, I'm sorry. Not
Charlie Daniels Band.
I'm sorry. A wrong one. Either way. Yeah,
Charlie's no longer with us, by the way, so I don't think you...
Yeah, he's in heaven. But either way.
Exactly.
No, seriously, yes, Greg, you're right. We did. We said this. And didn't think of genius. This was not, you know, you don't have to be a prophet, so to speak, to know that when you start legalizing what they consider smaller drugs, which really marijuana is not that much of a lesser drug.
Yeah.
You know, you've opened the door up to a lot bigger things.
Yeah. And Pastor Mark references Revelation 9:21, and they did not repent of their murders or their sorceries or their sexual immorality or their thefts.
Yeah.
So this is just a continuation of what we see Revelation is telling us
sorceries,
is going to happen.
Yes. Pharmakia. Yep. As our listeners know, that's that word pharmakia. So legalized mushrooms. Again, listen, the ballot measure comes 10 years after the state voters legalized marijuana. Colorado has been the second state to decriminalize and legalize recreational psychedelics. I mean, think about this, what we're doing. We are allowing people just to come out of their minds to live normal life, you know, and it goes on. Voters passed a ballot initiative during last week's election that will make it legal for adults to purchase and use DMT. Again, it's another drug, ibogaine, mescaline, including peyote, and psilocybin. All these are just mind psychedelic drugs. Nearly 1.2 million voters, roughly 53%, Greg, of the total vote, approved Prop 122, according to state election results. It just blows my mind.
Their mind is about to get blown.
You're exactly right. But where does it end? See, it doesn't end. This goes to the next step, and it's only going to get worse and worse, and this is demonic.
I mean, I know people like to talk about zombies, you know, and zombie apocalypse and zombie hunters and all that kind of stuff. And some of it's kind of funny. But, you know, when people are on those kind of drugs, they're zombie-like.
Yeah.
You know, they really are. Yeah. And my question is, you know, and this is a legitimate question, I think. You know, if you've got marijuana legalized in the state of Colorado, as an example, and I know Colorado is not the only state, is it possible, or could we poll or find out? I would like to know what the percentage is of those people that went to the polls and voted yes, if they were high on marijuana at the time that they voted for this drug.
You know, interesting.
I would just be curious, because how prevalent is it? You know, even though it's been legalized, how many people are actually doing it? And clearly enough that are either don't think it's a big deal or they want the next thing because marijuana is not doing it for them anymore.
Yeah.
They want the next level.
You have to. Well, that's how it works. The reason you go to more and more drugs, and again, coming out of a drug background, I can testify to this on a personal level. I'm not proud of it, but prior to Jesus Christ, that was a part of my struggle.
Yeah.
And what happens is that the drug you're using doesn't satisfy, or the amount you're using, and you have to up the amount to try to get the same dopamine effect, you know, that in the brain to release that, whatever that feeling is. And it's just disastrous. And of course, it leads, how many people die from drug overdose?
And that's a legitimate medical biological reaction that's going on in your body.
That's right.
I mean, it's not like you yourself are desiring it, but your body is telling you, I need more.
Yeah.
I want more.
That's right. It just, it creates this thing. It's almost like, you know, and again, it's that whole thing they do with the mice where they keep hitting the bell to get more of whatever they're giving them. You keep that dopamine. There's this desire. And Satan knows that, and he does that. Now, Greg, I'll tell you something else that's interesting. Just this week, another problem this is creating. I got a phone call this week of a family saying, hey, I've got people, you know, in Colorado that are sending the marijuana here through the mail because it's legal. They're sending things to, you know, other people here. And in that case, it had to deal with, you know, just trying to help a family member out that might be in a tough spot or whatever as a drug painkiller type thing. My point is, you wonder how much is now being shipped around the nation from Colorado just in the mail, whether it be this. Now, how many psychedelics will be shipped out? And when you read, it's interesting, when you read in Revelation, not just there in 9, but later on in Revelation, there's a couple of passages about sorcery. The judgment that God brings on Babylon there in 18, he says, it's because your sorcery has overtaken the entire world. You've spread your sorcery out. You've defiled the world with your pharmakia, is what he says. And of course, we oftentimes think of it as these kind of drugs, which is true. But there's also all the other drugs, the prescription drugs that people pass around. And some even have tried to make the connection now to where they're pushing vaccines on a regular basis. They want to keep doing all these shots all the time. We don't know all the different things, but it's this whole pharmaceutical industry that is corrupting the world. And Babylon, the Babylonian system, is going to be a part of that. God's going to judge it, he says.
And you know what's interesting? My mind went back to what you've shared before. Maybe you can share it again because I think it's pertinent. And that is the words of Yuval Noah Harari, who is by many of the world's leaders looked to as a prophet of sorts.
Right.
And basically the prophet for Klaus Schwab, leader of the World Economic Forum, which we believe is basically the beginning foundations for the one world government.
Absolutely.
The integral players, you could say.
Right.
And what did Yuval Noah Harari say about the masses and what the desire of those elites was to do with the masses?
Interesting you bring that up, Greg, and I'll bring a couple things up after this. We hit that as well. But yeah, he said, hey, we believe, he said, there are useless eaters or useless people because the intelligent people are the ones that are going to survive. The rest of the people, he says, really aren't needed.
We don't need that many people,
right? We don't need them. He said, they're useless, but he said, what do we do with them? And he didn't just come out and say, let's kill them all. It's like, till they die, what do we do with them?
Yeah.
And they asked him that. What do we do? If you're saying there's all these useless people besides the intellectuals that are going to be on the earth when all the technology advances to AI, what do we do with them? He said, the best thing I know to do is keep them drugged up and on video games. And he wasn't laughing.
No, he wasn't.
It wasn't like
he was
some
serious.
Kind of sarcastic. He said, the best thing that we've thought of is keep them on drugs, because then that kind of pacifies them, and then let them play video games. And it's until they die, basically. Now, it's interesting. You see this on all levels. Look how this is being used, Greg, how Satan uses the drug illegal drug industry. The fentanyl is one example coming across the border. They're using that to drug up children and women for sex trafficking, and they know they're doing it. They're basically, all they have to do is you know, they've even got little colored ones now. They just give them to them, hey, here, have a little piece of
candy.
Have a sweet tart or whatever. Once they go under, they kidnap them. And then they're in the system. So they're using these for sex trafficking, which is, again, all this illegal activity. At the same time, there are those at the higher levels, World Economic Forum, that are saying we need to allow the drugs in so people become very docile, kind of disconnected. Let them play their video games till they're 50, 60, 70 years old, and then we'll control the world. It's evil.
Complacent and compliant.
Yeah, it's evil. And so there is, from the lowest level of just money and abusing people to the highest level of thinking it through and saying, look, we can totally inoculate, in a sense, an entire world population if we just let everybody get hooked on these things. Yeah. And then we just kind of run the show and take everything for ourselves while we're taking all their stuff from them and then let them die out. And then we're the only ones here. And of course, that's less population, which they're trying to do anyway, because the world can't survive, they say, with all this population. And it's just, it's evil. It's demonic. Yeah.
I had reason to be talking with someone in Charlotte, North Carolina, and they shared with me that just in the city of Charlotte, year to date, over 400 fentanyl deaths. So basically accidental suicide, well, but it was suicide by fentanyl.
Well, and this is something the parents need to be aware of. I don't know that there's much you can do about it, but I want you to be aware of it. This is something else, Greg, I found out recently. I didn't realize. I was listening to a... I believe it was a doctor sharing about the impact of fentanyl in certain things. And when you mix fentanyl with heroin, heroin is very popular right now. It's kind of made a comeback.
Making a comeback, yeah.
Yeah, just little shots of heroin. It's actually very inexpensive. You can get little shots of heroin, $5, $10. It's amazing how Satan has done it, so he gets people hooked.
Sure.
He said now what they can do, he said heroin is very addictive anyway. He said, but now if they add fentanyl to it, he said there's a very high percentage of people that on the first time they do it, they're addicted. The fentanyl makes the heroin to a point to where the addiction kicks in immediately, chemically. They're addicted. He said, some people it takes a couple times if there's fentanyl. He said, but now they're just wholesale getting people addicted because they put a little bit of fentanyl in the heroin and boom, you're done. So it's you know, the reason I say that for the parents to be aware and for anyone out there that may be experimenting with drugs to be aware, if you're involved in that sin and you know you need to repent, listen, two things to be aware of. One is, if you experiment with the wrong thing, you could be hooked. Number two, the wrong amount of fentanyl, just a little bit too much, you will die. It is so potent, and that's why so many people are dying from it. These guys don't care. You think the drug dealers are going, hey, let's measure this out just perfect so that we don't kill anybody? I don't think so.
Yeah.
And so people are again, dropping dead like flies, and it's very sad, and the government's allowing it to happen. And when you ask, why would the government allow that to happen? Again, I've always looked at it from a political view. If they're letting all the people come across the border that are illegals and all that, you know, I think the mindset traditionally has been politically, they think that there'll be a vote for their party and they'll win more elections, et cetera, right? Maybe there's some mindset there. But at the same time, you know, when you look at some of the other agendas that are out there, you have to wonder, what is the full agenda? It's probably a mixture of all those things together and really sad.
Well, I think the root agenda comes in John chapter 10 when Jesus said the enemy comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy.
That's right.
And at the end of the day, he's behind all this.
That's right. Because the more people he can kill before they give their life
Absolutely.
To Jesus Christ, the more he can drag down to hell.
Absolutely. So, sad stuff, but
it
unfortunately,
is sad.
I'm sure this is not going to be the end of what we're hearing regarding legalizing things that shouldn't be legal. And by the way, I will say this too. These psychotropic drugs, and we're not talking about drugs that help you bodily or biologically healing or fighting diseases or cancers, but things that mess with you neurologically,
right,
okay?
Right.
That also pulls back the curtain or the veil that God has supernaturally put there to protect us from the spiritual world that the Bible clearly says is all around us. And so you hear a lot of stories of people that are not just on these types of drugs, but they commit heinous crimes and they talk about the voices.
And they see actual spirits.
Yes.
See, Greg, that's a great point. Thanks for bringing that up before we leave this subject.
Yeah.
Because again, for whatever the reason, what I've noticed over 30 some years of walking with the Lord and close to 30 years pastoring, what I've noticed is there is a connection between drug abuse and the demonic realm. It does somehow. I don't know that I fully understand it yet because I don't know all the science of how the brain works.
Right.
But here's what I've seen in real life. People that are involved in these drugs, they have demonic interactions and demonic connections. And they see spirits and they hear spirits. And you're like, well, they're just high. No. No, this is more than just high because they're consistent in what these spirits are telling them. And it's intellectual and it's demonic. It's not something just random where, they're going crazy. And especially interesting, Greg, in the Indian religions out west, the Hopi Indians and others, and we saw this when we were in Santa Fe, New Mexico, they use peyote in their ceremonies.
Yeah, you mentioned that earlier in the other story, yeah.
To communicate with their spirit guides.
Oh.
And what they'll do is they go in and they'll take the peyote, their spirit guide shows up, this being of light, and the being of light tells them what to do and guides them and all that. Those are real demons. They're seeing, this is not just some trip, end quote.
Right.
These are real demons. And for some reason, that veil is brought down through these certain drugs, peyote being one. What's interesting in this article, it mentions that peyote is what they legalized in Colorado. That's one of the things they legalized. It brings down the veil and brings in more demonic activity. Now, what do you think is going to happen when people in larger masses start connecting to the demonic realm? You wait till you see what happens in Colorado. I mean, it's already happening, but you wait until you see now what starts happening. You talk about, people would say oftentimes, well, yeah, how can we don't see the demonic things happening in America like they've been in the Bible? Well, number one, you do see it when you go into these dark countries. You go to Haiti and some of these countries, you see the same demonic stuff you see in the Bible. You're about to see the demonic activity in America because of this stuff coming in. It is going to invite the demonic realm to be able now to access minds and bodies, and you're going to see possessions. You're going to see all kinds of things.
I was just going to say, you're going to see a lot more demonic possession.
Absolutely. And absolutely.
And I know that you've experienced some things in your life and in your walk. Suffice it to say, when you encounter real evil, I mean, as the Bible describes evil, Hollywood can't touch it.
No, they can't. And I'll tell you something else, Greg, because again, when I got saved, coming out of that world, there was a lot of demonic pull, and I didn't see how real it was till I got saved. And there were some very real things that happened to me as I was coming out of that world that were demonic. And I'll tell you this, when it happens, you don't question if it's real. No. I mean, it is,
you know,
in your face, this is real, and it's just as real as you and I sitting here right now. It is demonic. They are real beings. They have power. The Bible describes it. And, you know, that's what we're inviting in now to Colorado and to the rest of the states. And now we're inviting it to be shipped around the country. Although that's illegal, it will be done. They'll be shipping it to their buddies and stuff. And this is going to spread, and our whole country is going to be affected. And I think eventually, you know, it'll get legalized in certainly much more areas, maybe the whole country, if we're here long enough.
Yeah, true. All right. Let's talk about some Jew hate, otherwise known as growing anti-Semitism. You know, if you are someone who works for a large company or a corporation or whatever, you have no doubt in the last 10 or 15 years been subjected to diversity training, inclusivity training, sensitivity training, to cover a myriad of things that you are to be sensitive to, things that you can say that you can't say about other people groups or skin colors or whatever the case may be. And I'm not here to debate the validity of any of it.
No.
But I'm here to tell you, according to the Jerusalem Post, they forgot about the Jews in all of that training.
Yeah.
The recent survey has found that 29% say anti-Semitism is acceptable in the workplace.
Wait, that's 30%, babe. That's 30%. Three out of 10.
Three out of 10 people.
It's okay to discriminate and hate the Jews.
Yeah.
Come on in.
But the rest of the people, we've got to be nice to.
It's unbelievable.
Except for the Jew.
It's unbelievable.
Again, Zechariah chapter 12 talks about all this.
Yes, and Matthew, he says they'll hate you. And again, what we know why it's demonic and Satan hates the Jews. We all know the reasons why if you've been listening for any length of time or know the Bible. But ResumeBuilder.com surveyed 1,131 hiring managers in November, asking them about their views of Jewish individuals and their perspectives on anti-Semitism in the workplace. I guarantee this had to be anonymous, right?
These are people that are involved in all of those training programs.
I know. It blows my mind. It shouldn't. I mean, this should never happen, but it shows you how demonically we're being taken over. What did they find in the survey? The survey showed that 26% of hiring managers say they are less likely to move forward with Jewish applicants. When asked why, 38% said Jews have too much power and control, which also is tied to 38% who said Jews claim to be the chosen people. Well, no, God said that, not the Jews, but let's go on.
Yeah.
A few other reasons were that Jews have too much wealth. Jews are greedy. Jews killed Jesus. False, false, and false. And many other anti-Semitic responses, according to the Resume Builder survey. 23% said their company is trying to limit Jewish presence in the workplace. 17% said that their bosses said not to hire Jewish people at all.
Wow.
To come out and say that? Now, McGreg, here's what I'm seeing. Look, this used to be secret.
Mm.
It's not now.
Not now.
You're seeing things that used to be secret are coming right out in the open and being said, being lived out, being done. What used to be in the closet is now in the street. And what people would say quietly in the corners are now being shouted from the rooftops, and it's wicked and it's evil. There's something concerning to me And I'll start out, we talked about Kanye West. You're starting to see people being very vocal about attacking the Jews and really saying some horrible things. I mean, I don't know what you think about Kanye West, but he's coming out saying that, you know, there's a lot of good things about Hitler and, you know, we need to recognize the goodness that was in Hitler and all that. I think I know what happened. He apparently got burned by somebody who was a Jewish person, that business, and he got burned and he's out and out of whatever. But when you get to the point to where you can start like honoring Hitler because you hate the Jews so much, that's kind of like next level. It's one thing to say, I don't like the Jews. You start honoring Hitler. Now that's next level, if you will, where Kanye is. And it's especially disheartening to me because, you know, he claims to be a believer and all that. But here's the thing I want to say, not picking on Kanye West. I'm just pointing out because everybody knows it. This is not some big secret. I'm not gossiping. It's like right, all yeah. over social media, the news, sure. et cetera. But I'm noticing, and I'm not going to name names, and you might not know who I said if I did, but there are some people out there who do like radio shows and different kinds of things, and there's a lot of them different media out there who claim to be Christian. They say they're Christian, whatever. And they're now getting very, very openly aggressive against the Jews. And saying things about the Jews and attacking the Jews. And let me just say this again. Are the Jews people? Yeah. Are they going to mess up? Yes. Does Israel do things wrong? Yes. It's not about that you can't say, hey, Israel did something wrong or a Jewish person did something wrong, like anybody that did something wrong. But when it's believers, we're supposed to understand that they're going to do things wrong, just like everybody. But God told us to honor them because one day they're going to be family. They're going to be saved. God's going to pour his spirit out on the nation. They're going to be saved. And so we're to honor them for the fact that we know their future family. Yeah. And God said, I'll bless those who bless you and I'll curse those who curse you, talking about the nation of Israel. And yet I'm seeing Christians now that are being very vocal and very bold about attacking Israel and attacking the Jews. And they're getting mad because they're saying, we can't even say anything against the Jews. Yes, we can. I'm like, guys, you're missing the point. Oh, you want to find things the Jews did wrong? Absolutely. You want to find things Americans, of course, Americans are Jews too. Any group, okay? Jews, right. Irish, British, go down the list. Any group that did wrong, okay? You can find that and you can say they did wrong and probably be true. But when you look at it through the lens of Scripture and realize the Bible says in the last days, Satan is going to stir mankind to hate my chosen people, the Jews, and they're going to specifically single them out along with Christians to hate them. We should be smart enough and taught well enough to say, I'm not going to fall for this. I'm not going to go looking for individual problems Israel or the Jews have. And I'm going to honor God by just praying for them and trusting that God's going to do a great work in them in the last days.
Well, let's talk about the church for a minute, Pastor Mark, because God addresses his people in Hosea 4:6. He says, my people perish for lack of knowledge.
That's right.
So specifically regarding the church, let me ask you this. Do you think that... you know, part of this could be, and we've talked about this before, you go to churches and the diet, the mainstay diet that you're getting in a church every week is that of topical. And the problem with topical teachings is you don't get the whole Bible, and we've discussed the reasons why you may or may not get the whole Bible.
We're
not against topical teachings.
You just don't get the full Bible.
Okay, you do topical teachings.
Right,
that's
right,
not it.
Right.
But the mainstay diet needs to be verse by verse. Let's go from Genesis, work all our way through Revelation.
If you're going to teach all the Bible.
If you're going to teach
all
the Bible.
That's right.
So is that part of it, or are some of these churches actively teaching what we refer to as the doctrine of preterism? And maybe you can touch on that a little bit, because what I'm hearing in this is the effects of preterism, which is people somehow in their intellect or whatever are dismissing the Jews as God being done with them.
Yeah.
Being over them, so our hatred is somehow justified because he's done with them.
Yeah, let me define preterism and then expand it a little bit, Greg. It's not just preterism that believes this. There's a lot of different, I mean, you find this in Calvinism a lot, you find this in other, and that is that God is done with the Jews, that God is done with Israel. Preterism is the belief that all prophecy has been fulfilled. We're done with all prophecy. That's the actual definition.
Gotcha.
We're totally done with prophecy. There is no more prophecy, and everything in Revelation is done. I mean, I look at that and go, how can anybody truly look at and say it's all done? I can't get that. But beyond that, it also, though, and that's where you're coming from, I know, a part of preterism, you're right, and a part of, and I see it a lot in Calvinism, but not just limited to that. They believe that the church is now Israel. In other words, they don't take the Bible literally. If you took the Bible literally says Israel is Israel, and church is the church. But they spiritualize it and or symbolize it or analogize it. And they say, no, what God really did is all the promises that used to be for Israel are now for the church. Well, the Bible didn't say that anywhere. As a matter of fact, God says over and over, you know, no, I'm not done with this. And Jeremiah, he said, look, if the sun and moon are still shining, I'm not done with Israel. Then Paul said in Romans chapter 10, 9, 10, 11, is God done with the nation of Israel? He said, God forbid, I'm a Jew and here I am saved and going for it. God's not done with the Jews. So the Bible over and over says Israel is Israel. The church is the church. They're two separate entities. They're not to be intermingled, not to be spiritualized or symbolized or anything else. But the problem is, regardless of the theological name you give the group, that doesn't matter. Regardless of that, if you don't take the Bible literally for what it says and believe that Israel is Israel and the church is the church, you're going to run into these kind of belief systems and confusion. And if I can convince you that God is done with Israel, then why should I even worry about the Jews at all? Why should I be, maybe I can even be a little bit more aggressive toward them, because after all, and this is another false teaching and mindset, after all, didn't they kill Jesus? No, the Bible says the Jew didn't kill Jesus. The Bible says that Jesus willingly gave himself to die for the sins of mankind. What that means is sin killed Jesus. God approved it. Jesus obeyed it. And so sin, you and I, Mark and Greg killed Jesus.
Right.
And all of you listening to me, you killed Jesus. Has nothing to do whether you're Jew, Gentile, or whatever your background is. Our sin killed Jesus. So, and I've seen that. So, but once you cross over and go, well, God's done with them, that doesn't matter. That doesn't give an excuse now to become anti-Semitic or begin to pick on them, but it seems to open a door to go, well, I don't need to be so cautious about guarding how I view the nation of Israel or the Jews, because after all, God's done with them. They rejected their Messiah and they killed him, and God's done with them, and maybe they deserve this. And this kind of attitude you've seen throughout church history.
Right.
Nonsense. What the Bible says is, again, Jesus gave his life. Sin killed him. The Jews didn't. They're God's chosen people in that they were chosen to bring the Messiah into the world. And God said, I'm not done with my promise. In the last days, I'm going to pour my spirit out on them. Ezekiel 38 and 39 is when it happens. It talks about it in Revelation. Everywhere he pours his spirit out, there's going to be 144,000 saved right off the bat. There's going to be many more saved during the Great Tribulation. And so God simply said this, look, love them and bless them, even in their sin. Don't approve of their sin. Don't agree with their sin. But love them and bless them, because I'm going to give you a promise. They have a future with me.
Right.
And because I know that future, if you bless them, I'll bless you. If you curse them, I'll curse you. I know where they are. I see their sin, but I know where they're going to be.
Well, let's talk about God's judgment or chastisement, because this is why prophecy is so important, because prophecy reveals to us is that God recognizes that the Jews are a stiff-necked people. He called them that.
Yes, he says they're stubborn.
And he promised them 490 years.
That's right.
Of basically correction.
Yeah, yeah.
And that prophetic clock stopped on those 490 years the day that Jesus rode into Jerusalem.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. It stopped 7 years short of that.
7 years short of that.
So
right.
They had finished 483 years of the promise.
Of the promise.
Yes.
Okay. So there's 7 years left of this chastisement.
That's right.
That God recognizes that he's got to deal with it. So God is basically telling us in the Bible, it's not your job. Your job is to bless them. You don't worry about that. I will take care of the chastisement, and the chastisement's right. going to come now in those final 7 years.
Yeah.
And that's what we talk a lot about on this show. And that's what's really a lot of these prophetic events are pointing to or are setting up for, is for God to deal with the nation right. of Israel and the world that's rejected Jesus.
Right. And again, you're exactly right on the chastisement. Let me expand it. It's also for blessing, because over those 483 prophetic years, they were blessed. And during that, there's going to be many saved.
Yes.
And so he does both. He'll be blessing them and chastising. So both's going on. But Greg, isn't it interesting? Peter said, Lord, how many times do I forgive?
Yeah. Seven?
490.
Seventy times seven.
490. I find it intriguing. I find it very interesting that the exact number of years that God is giving grace to the Jews to be saved and be dealt with in blessing and chastisement is the exact number he gave Peter of how often we forgive. I know people talk about, oh, he's just making an example of like it's unlimited. I don't know that the Lord ever does that. I think he's very specific at what he is. I'm not saying that we don't keep forgiving people after they've done something 490 times, but I'm saying there's a specific reason he picked 490, and when I look at how he's dealing with the nation of Israel in 490 years, there's something there, I think, to be further extrapolated on and looked into, and God is saying, you know what, I've dealt with you. You've sinned over and over and over. I've forgiven you up to 490, 70 times 7. I've forgiven all the way to the very end. I'm showing you what I preached, I'm doing. And now I'm pouring out my spirit to save those that will be saved. And those that want, now we're moving on. So he's living out with the nation of Israel what he told us we need to be doing on an individual basis. Isn't that amazing?
It's wonderful.
It is wonderful.
And what a privilege that we all have, by the way, that we can even see this.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. It's just amazing.
I
do too. God's so good.
You are listening or watching Signs of the Times. It's our weekly look at Bible prophecy in the world's news for Friday, December 9th. This is a broadcast on WIAM that we magically turn into a podcast.
Magically delicious.
Episode 241 for your prophetic enjoyment. All right, let's continue our look into prophetic categories. And the next one up is the Grinch's smorgasbord of pestilence, plagues, disasters, and corruption. AP Network News is reporting politics and climate are conspiring as the Tigris and Euphrates rivers are dwindling. And
yeah.
You know, you reference a very interesting scripture verse, a prophetic scripture verse from the book of Revelation, Pastor Mark, 16:12. Then the sixth angel poured out his bowl on the great river Euphrates, and its water was dried up so that the way of the kings from the east might be prepared.
Yeah.
Now, Revelation 16 is deep into things.
Yeah, yeah.
So is this a true preparation for Revelation 16, or is this just kind of, it's just part of the earth groaning?
Yeah, I think it could be either or and or both, and I'll tell you why. We're certainly not in Revelation 16. It could be, Greg, when we talk about the headwinds.
Yeah.
Kind of a precursor. Hey, guys, I'm showing you guys what I'm going to do. I told you, I'm going to dry it up. So you're going to start seeing a little bit of that now. So it could be kind of the beginning. And then when we get there, boom, he dries it up. So it is interesting prophetic from that standpoint. And again, it also could just be at this point, as you said, Romans 8:22, the earth groaning, if you will. But it's definitely worth a prophetic shout out. It says, next year the water will come, the pipes have been laid, and the sprawling farm in Turkey southeast connecting it to a dam on the Euphrates River, a dream soon to become a reality, he says. He's already grown a small corn patch of some water, and they talk about this farmer, he's so excited about all the water he's going to get. He says, the last time we planted the seed, it went green and suddenly died, but now they have water. But the stark different realities are playing out along the length of the Tigris-Euphrates River Basin, one of the world's most vulnerable watersheds. River flows have fallen by 40% in the past four decades. So there's this gradual decline. So, I mean, this could be the headwinds we talked about. And again, in Turkey, Syria, and Iran, Iraq, pursue rapid unilateral development of the water's use. They're all working together. How do we use it? So, yeah, they're using it. We're seeing it dry up. It's going to be an angel that totally dries it up. But this could be, again, the beginning of this process. We don't know. But for our listeners, this is not Revelation 16. I've heard people say, it's drying up. It's about to happen. No, the Antichrist comes on the scene first. We get into the Great Tribulation. Then it's going to be completely dried up. So it'll continue to run. Maybe not as much, but it'll continue to run to Revelation 16. But this could be the beginning of it. So keep your eye on it. It is very, I think it's prophetic. It's worth a prophetic mention here.
Yeah. All right. Fox News is reporting vaccinated Americans are now a majority of the COVID deaths for the first time, I guess, this past August.
Yeah.
I guess this analysis, I guess it takes a while to analyze the numbers.
It does.
This article from the Kaiser Family Foundation is dated November 23rd.
So. Well, just another reason we kind of need to put the brakes on and all this kind of everybody getting the shot thing until we know more about it.
Yeah.
Kaiser Family Foundation says we can no longer say this is a pandemic of the unvaccinated. For the first time since the beginning of the pandemic, a majority of Americans dying from the coronavirus were at least partially vaccinated, according to a new analysis of federal and state data. 58% of coronavirus deaths in August, this past August, in America, were people who were vaccinated or boosted. So more people that had the shot than didn't are now dying. The paper described a troubling trend, as the share of deaths of people who were vaccinated have been steadily rising over the past year. Now, I don't want to go too far into this. We've talked about it. I only want to say this to say, look, be sure we need to get the information out there. And I feel we have a responsibility to do that.
Sure.
Because, Greg, the government is still going full throttle and pushing all these. Get your shot, get your booster. And now we're seeing that more people getting it are dying than people that don't get it. We can argue about the reasons and all that. I'm not going to get into that now. The point is, this is pretty clear. Let's just kind of put the brakes on. Don't allow them to push anything on you. There's a lot more research and stuff that needs to be done before this. And this whole just drive crazy and reckless ahead full throttle by the government is irresponsible. And so this is the kind of message that needs to spread just for the safety of the public at this point.
Yeah, I was just going to read something to you, if I can find it. Let's see. Yes, here we go. Just a reminder, a genuinely deadly pandemic doesn't require 24/7 advertising to remind you it exists.
Yeah.
Real pandemics don't need marketing campaigns and endless propaganda. But psychological operations do.
Yeah. I think we see.
So that's very interesting. Well, I was going to say a lot of these commercials, Pastor Mark, I've noticed are being put out by the pharmaceutical companies as well.
It is. And what's interesting about all this, Greg, a lot of people don't realize that controlling all of this, even above the pharmaceuticals, this is easy to verify. So anybody that wants to go do their homework can. I'm just stating very easy facts to find online. It's all run by the government and the military. They're the ones that control all they're the ones that distribute them to all the pharmaceuticals. They're the ones that make sure that it's just distributed, that they're given out, et cetera. The military controls it. The federal government controls all of these. And so I think what we have going on here, and look, I think a lot of things are going on that are wrong, but I think a lot of people don't even know what they're doing. I think it is spiritual in many degrees, in many ways. And I think it's part of the last days, deception and all that. And again, ultimately, here's the thing to remember ultimately about all this stuff. This is all leading to a mindset of everybody working together so we can save the planet will eventually lead to the Antichrist talking us everybody into getting this mark of the beast on your hand or your forehead. It's going to be this digital marker that somehow, you know, keeps you in tune. It's, you know, the whole, and again, it goes in line with the whole vaccine, passport and your medical records and all that, and even digital money. They're tying all this together now at the top levels. The central banks started this past week experimenting with digital currency, and they're trying to link all of it together where you can monitor all of it by computerized things. Yeah. So it's working toward the mark of the beast. Yeah. That's what to remember.
And I will say this too. You know, a lot of times we share stories and, you know, don't panic in your heart. First of all, God tells us specifically, you know, worry is from, and that is from the enemy. God specifically tells us, do not worry.
Yeah.
And I'll give you an example. Here in the United States, they've got this thing called Real ID. Okay. And that is, it's supposed to be like your driver's license. That's supposed to also be like a passport of some sort.
Yeah.
It's supposed to be like this super license or whatever. That was supposed to be mandatory, I think, in May of 2008. And since then, they've delayed it 2 years at a time. Now, the recent delay for the Real ID, the requirement that you have to have it, has now been pushed out to 2028.
Wow.
So all that to say, yes, there's things happening, but, you know, there's also, it's... Man is not as smart as he thinks he is, you know, and he's only allowed to do what our sovereign God is allowing the enemy to get away with.
Yeah, it sounds like our Alcoa construction project, actually.
Yes, exactly. Another 2 years.
Yeah, because you make a good comment, Greg, that we said before, but I want to now kind of accentuate since you brought that up. Look, I hesitate mentioning any of these new statistics as they come out. I kind of filter these as I see these articles, and they're from the government stats and all that. And we have all these articles online. You can go look them up. This is government data. So this is not some, you know, it's you do your homework, it's there. Yeah. Here's the thing. Now, with that said, I hesitate to do it because the last thing I want to do is create fear. That's why we can't let fear. We have to trust God. The Lord is the one that controls our life. He controls our heartbeat, our life, how long we live, when we die. He's in control of all of that. So we can rest in Jesus Christ.
Right.
He's the one that has the control of our life. The reason we mention it from time to time as these new stats come out, I only do it because the government is going so headlong, full throttle, that I feel a responsibility to protect and to let people know you need to wake up and think for yourself and look around, because this can be have very serious impact on you as far as your health and your life. And so I feel it's almost that battle of you don't want to create fear, but you have a responsibility to say, guys, here's some information that you just have to know, so that when they come to you, you know, and say, look, you need to be doing this, you say, no, I think I'm going to hold off on that right now. I'm not going to do that. And for those of you that would say, yeah, but I'll lose my job. Lose your job. You can get another job. You can't get another body. If something breaks on your body, it's broken. You can get another job. Get another job. I know that's easier for me to say, you might say, but I'm telling you, there is no job that's worthy of your physical health or in some cases even your life. So don't be intimidated by that. Especially if you're a believer, the Lord said this: seek first the kingdom of God and all these things will be added. And he was talking about clothes, food, et cetera.
Yeah.
So what he means is, you put God first, God will make sure you have a job. You put God first, God will make sure your house payment's made, your food's there. He's going to make sure, he's promised. But that's where there's a little bit of fear in that, because you have to trust and take that step of faith. Yeah. But I think we have to, from time to time, point out the new stats as they come out to try to slam on the brakes from this government running headlong, you know, over a cliff.
Yeah. Well, and Pastor Mark, you know, in all fairness, you know, we've been talking about this for the last 2 years.
Yeah, 2 to 3. Yeah.
2 to 3. And really, the first year of the pandemic, 6 months in, we realized that this was not what
something's wrong.
It was made to
we
look
knew
like
something was
something
wrong.
Was wrong. Yeah, as a matter of fact, we even got flagged on YouTube, which is why we're not on YouTube anymore.
Well, we canceled YouTube. And that felt so good.
Yeah, didn't it?
We canceled YouTube. They didn't cancel us. We canceled them.
There you go.
We just got off there before
So. That's true. There, yeah, our community warning or whatever.
Yeah.
So, you know, if you've been a listener to the show for a long time, you know we've been talking about this. And when we share these things also, too, it's not with glee. This is tragic. People have died, have had myocarditis.
Yeah, other injuries.
Other injuries medically and whatnot. This is very, very horrible. So when we share these things, it's just to continue to let you know it is what we thought it was. You know, and believe me, we're human, too. We want to live. We don't want to die.
That's
and if
right.
we thought it was legit, you know, we'd be right there doing whatever we needed to do.
And you're seeing more government officials step up slowly. I mean, again, you saw Ron DeSantis this week came out and said now they're going to be suing the pharmaceutical companies because of the side effects. They can't sue for the shot because under protection, but they can sue because the pharmaceuticals came out and said, hey, there's no side effects with these. They're safe and effective. That was their mantra, safe and effective. And Ron DeSantis came out and said, they're neither safe nor effective. And our people here in Florida are getting hurt. We're coming after you.
Yeah.
I say good for him.
Yeah.
He's doing the right thing because they need to be stopped.
Absolutely. All right. Our last article in the category also accentuates Romans 8:22, the earth groaning. This is from CNN. This happened a little while ago, but it's worth mentioning because this hasn't happened in a long time. And that is this. Hawaii's volcanoes, lava flowing from the Mauna Loa is slowing, but that's not the only possible hazard from the Big Island's dual volcano eruptions.
Yes, as first the good news, the lava spilling out of Hawaii's Mauna Loa volcano is slowing down, spreading out, and not immediate threat to people on the ground. Now the bad news. Possible health hazards remain as two volcanoes keep erupting on Hawaii's Big Island, sending acidic gases into the air. So, you know, again, the state officials have warned of potential air quality issues, including VOG. I'd never heard of that one, but it's volcanic smog.
Oh, interesting.
And residents and visitors can expect VOG conditions, ash in the air, levels of sulfur and dioxide to increase and fluctuate in various areas of the state, the Hawaii Health Department said. So, yeah, you know, you have all that stuff that goes with it. But the key here I want to point out again is, again, Romans 8:22, the earth groaning. We've had a couple of those now. Second article, the earth's going to be groaning. We've always had volcanoes. But you're going to see more and more of this the closer we get toward the Lord's return, because the earth's going to be groaning, which, by the way, is a lot of the things that people try to point out environmentally, where they're saying we got to make all these changes. Yeah. It's just the earth groaning. It's not there's no environmental crisis.
No.
You're being deceived in that. It is simply the earth groaning, if you know the word of God, and we're seeing it groan because the return's near.
You know, it's interesting, and I'll just share this. This is just kind of you and I having a conversation.
We'll let them join in.
And you can join in.
They can join in.
Absolutely. You know, all this push for let's go to all electric everything and let's oil is bad and whatnot. And they call it fossil fuel. And to me, that's such a joke because
we could talk about that forever.
We could talk about that forever. Yeah. But what I think is interesting is that if we really do stop consuming the oil that God has provided and God creates, it's not from dinosaurs. Okay. I wonder if that's not the added fuel prophetically that will be used when the Bible says that God is going to consume the heavens and the earth with fire.
Yeah.
And the elements will be burned.
Yeah.
And then he creates anew. So I'm thinking to myself, okay, well, we've got volcano stuff. We've got lava. We've got, you know, that kind of stuff in the center. But what about the oil? Because that can burn too.
Yeah. I'm
so
sure
anyway,
it's all going to go up.
It's
so
just one of those,
a part of it, because it's all going to go up. So very interesting, though.
It's just one of those things I think about when I've had a late night burrito.
There you go.
Okay. The Daily Signal is reporting that a sports star, it was supposed to be jailed. I guess maybe his sentence was suspended for 10 months. For a quote-unquote transphobic message, please explain.
Well, the fact they would even do this, and then they did suspend it because they know how ridiculous it is. But, Greg, it's really more an attack on the Bible and God's Word. One of the most legendary soccer players of his time received a jail sentence and a fine for posting transphobic, they said, social media messages citing the Bible's creation account. Here's what he got 10 months in jail for. And again, they dropped that, but probation now or something. God created Adam and Eve, wrote retired Greek football legend Vasilis Tsartis in a second of the two Facebook posts opposing a 2017 law that would have lowered the age to legally change one's gender to 15, removed other legal barriers. Now, while citing the book of Genesis, the 18-year soccer player explained his faith-based objection to extreme gender ideology and the redefinition of marriage. And I quote, "Anyone can have his preferences, whether he's a man or a woman, and I completely respect that. For me, however, a couple is only a man and a woman. The rest are just together. I'm not going to accept all the weddings, all the parades, and anything else they do as normal," he wrote. He said he had no time for anyone who claims that those who don't agree are racist. I agree with that. That's ridiculous. The ruling marks at least the second time in a European court they've ruled that biblical values violate human rights of transgender individuals. This is where, Greg, the Bible runs headlong into the world's mindset and philosophy. You can't have both. The Bible's clear. You can't serve God and mammon. You can't serve God and the world. You can't, and of course, mammon's money. But the point is, you can't serve God and the world. You've got to serve either one or the other. And you're going to see more of this. I guess what's especially concerning about this is that if you stand on the Bible and you say, here's what the Bible says, that makes you a criminal now in some places, Canada as well as here.
Yeah.
And it's coming to a nation near you. I mean, you see the Antichrist getting more and more. Again, he's going to try to do away completely with the Bible when he comes into power. The Antichrist, well, he wants everybody to bow down to him and worship him. He'll probably twist the Bible for a while to his advantage. But again, you can just see the headwinds of the Antichrist and his opposition to God. Notice everything God says, the enemy goes against. For example, God said this, be fruitful and multiply. What does the world say? Stop having babies and we're too overpopulated. The Lord said, rule over the earth and have dominion over it. What does the world say? Stop drilling, stop using resources, everybody just die, you know, and let it whatever. So anything that God says to do, the world says to do opposite. And it's not just the word, it's Satan behind that.
Yeah.
So again, this doesn't surprise me, but what shocks me about it is that now we're having people around the world actually getting sentenced. And when is the one going to happen, Greg, where they don't say, okay, we're going to make it just a warning or make it just watching you or whatever, house arrest type thing, and really put them in jail? Because the Bible, once that happens, the door opens. Where does it stop? Anything in the Bible is game now to put you in jail for.
Well, the door has just opened in our next article, Pastor Mark. This is from Fox News, a report citing Christian persecution is rising around the world amid jihadism and totalitarianism.
Yeah, this is interesting. They kind of avoid the fact that Christian persecution is the worst in the world. They just talk about the others.
Yeah.
Persecution of Christians has worsened in at least 18 countries at the hands of both totalitarian governments and militant non-state actors in recent years, according to a new report. Indicators strongly suggested that over a period under review, the persecution of Christians continued to worsen in core countries of concern. Persecuted and Forgotten, a report on Christians oppressed for their faith in 2022, reported. Released by the Catholic group Aid to the Church in Need on November 16th, they presented to the UK Parliament, to the UK Parliament earlier this week. The report pinpointed Asia, Africa, and the Middle East as regions where the persecuted Christians have been suffering the worst. Again, the report laid blame on the worsening global situation and the cultural misperception in the West that continues to deny Christians are the most widely persecuted faith group, examining human rights violations in 24 nations where Christian persecution is a particular concern. The report of conditions for the faithful have gotten worse. So the bottom line is, they're saying, look, persecution is growing around the globe on Christians, but everybody's only focused on everything else. Why? Because it has to do with Christians and Jesus Christ. So it's always going to be an opposition to that as well. Doesn't surprise me. And again, you're going to see, the Bible says in the last days, persecution against the Jews and the Christians. We've seen both today.
Both today.
Yeah.
And more to come.
Absolutely.
All right. Our final article of the day, we get into some good news. How about that? This is from Christian Headlines. Over 8,600 people made professions of faith at Pastor Greg Laurie's Southern California Harvest Revival that I guess just happened here at the beginning of November.
Yes, November 5th and 6th. There was an additional 160,000 that watched the gathering online. And the event was featured across 600 social media pages and radio stations. Okay, look how God is using social media. And I quote, God has changed the course of my life, Greg Laurie said, and he can do that for you. My hope tonight is that in politics or world leaders, it's not in politics or world leaders, but it's not in technology, money, or possessions. It's not even in religion, said Greg Laurie. What we are looking for is not something you hold in your hand. It's something that happens in your heart in a relationship with God through Jesus Christ. And again, that's the bottom line. Look, we can all get upset about the politics of today. We can all see what's happening in the world around us. We can all see the atrocities, the injustices, etc. It all comes back to our hope in Jesus Christ. Yeah. That's where our hope is.
Yeah.
For the believer, listen, believer, your hope's in Jesus. Get your eyes on him. For the unbeliever, if you don't have that hope, you need to come to Jesus so you can know him and have the hope that we have. Confess your sin, receive him as Lord, and you too will be born again in the kingdom of God. You can do that right now. And so, again, that's where I love to end the show that way. It's great. Just get all eyes on Jesus. Yeah. He is our hope.
Amen.
Amen, amen.
Keeps our hearts settled.
That's right.
Pastor Mark, thank you, folks. Thanks for listening. Don't forget, thewaymedia.net. Everything you need for Signs of the Times is at thewaymedia.net. You can also short handle that at thesigns.org, but lots of other things at thewaymedia.net, including Pastor Mark's radio program, Come to the Table, WIM, our 24-hour radio station, and the ever-growing teaching library of Calvary Knoxville, all for you at thewaymedia.net. And we'll be back next Friday at 1:30 for more Signs of the Times.